Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and join our Patreon for just $2 a month where you get exclusive episodes. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the barkeep.
I was betting on Bouncer.
Well,
too obvious.
Too obvious.
It is. Yeah. It is September 11th, 2020, the day we're recording this, which of course is an important day in American history as far as remembering what happened. But we're also celebrating today because Matt, your birthday happens to be today on September 11th, and happy birthday, old man.
Thank you, sir.
And, happy sweet you, 16.
Yeah, that was funny.
Matt finally turned 16, you know, he can't quite drink yet, but.
Long was gracious, man. On the age. I'm surprised you didn't say 12. I would have accepted 12.
Sweet 16 was funner.
Yeah, it was. It had the better ring to it.
Did you get your first pubes, Matt?
No, I'm still waiting on those.
But it is your birthday week, man. So you got to pick the movie today. You got to pick the movie today that I swear to fucking Christ I'm going to kill you for one day. Not really, but this was a hard one to watch. But we'll get into that in a little bit. So other than work, it's weird having – it's kind of strange. Like, Long, you kind of had your birthday before COVID hit. It's kind of weird having a birthday post COVID. I know for me, I just stayed home and didn't do much, and probably kind of same for you, Matt.
Yeah, my mom was like, "Hey, what do you want for dinner? I'll order it for you, have it delivered." The wife made me a cake and, you know, got me some ice cream and stuff, and you know, we just had something here and that was it.
Yeah. But you know, in some ways I think maybe it makes you appreciate things a little more, you know, you sit back, you think about it. So, you know, and, by the time January rolls around again, though, Long, for your birthday, we may still be in the same boat, just kind of a minimal celebrating, you know, depending on how the next few months go with the supposed vaccine and all that. We'll see.
You don't need to celebrate my death.
Whatever.
No, I'm joking.
Anyway, Long always bringing the good moods to the show. But we are going to have some fun today. We're going to have some fun with Matt on his birthday. Have some fun talking about this ridiculous movie that we watched. And make it an enjoyable show, regardless of the remembrance of September 11th itself. We're here to have some fun. So let's start the show like we always do with Download This, where we tell people what we watched, streamed, played, checked out this week. And Matt, since it's your birthday, I guess you get to go first.
All right, I'll start with a disappointing event. I worked a Texans event. It was a watch party, and it's, you know, just I figured we were going to lose anyways. And of course, I was not disappointed, but I was hoping to be disappointed, and we lost. But everyone had masks. Everyone was in a car. It was a pretty safe event, so I guess that's what games are going to look like for the NFL, at least at first.
Did you hear anyone boo during the moment of solidarity?
I did, and I was like, wow, you know,
it's just about solidarity. It's nothing, you know. And then they still boo about it.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's I think they did things the right way. They got with the league. Everyone was in it together. I felt like, you know, they wanted to do it as both sides wanted to do the same thing and be together, show unity. You know, I really didn't have a problem with it. You know, but hey, you know, opinion
it's
as
Kansas City.
Yeah. Like Dalton says in this movie, opinions vary, you know, and, you know, that threw me off definitely. But, other than that, it was, you know, it was an okay night, I guess, for what it was. And then I got a chance to talk about Cobra Kai on You Suck podcast with our friends across the seas, Alex Whitley, Shane and Moose, and they gave me a chance to promote the show, so promoted our show on there. They were definitely cool to talk to, and they were asking me about tournament rules the whole time. And I was like, well, you know, Taekwondo, it's different. You can't punch to the face. And they were asking about why Johnny's kick was illegal. And I referred just back to the movie. I'm like, well, the ref says no kicks to the face. I was like, so technically Danny threw a kick to the face, but because it wasn't a forward motion, it may not have counted as a attack, more of like a defensive stop. And kind of like Johnny ran into the foot, and that's kind of what it was. It's, I was like, it just comes down to the ref, you know, how the ref wants to call it. So, but like Johnny said, Johnny got the penalty and Danny got the win. So here we are with Cobra Kai, you know, which I think we've talked about that a lot on the show. Great, you know, reference to sources here. If you haven't checked it out, check it out this week. And then other than that, I watched something. Oh, I watched the first episode of The Boys. And
season two?
Season two. And I liked it. I wanted to continue watching it, but kids were up and, you know, they started running around the house. Really couldn't continue
and
watching
you had to
it.
Do this podcast.
Yeah.
Definitely not kid friendly.
No, definitely not. Far from it. And I believe that is about it. Just a few things this week.
I didn't do anything. I just rewatched a couple of, you know, classic animes and played a little bit on the Nintendo Switch. The Super Mario Brothers side scroller one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Deluxe. That's what it was.
Nice.
And but I'm waiting for the Super Mario 3D All-Stars so I could play Mario Galaxy again. That's my all-time favorite 3D Mario game.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's coming out next Friday. I'm looking forward to that. And, yeah, that's it. I did jack shit.
Sounds like a fun week.
Yeah.
What a slacker.
Yeah.
I
know I did something, but no, not really.
Not really.
Oh.
Yeah, don't feel too bad. I did watch the first episode of The Boys season two. I'm kind of like you, Matt. I've been trying to watch the other two or three episodes that are out and just haven't had a chance to like sit down and watch it, you know. But I did watch the first episode. Man, Homelander is such a fucking asshole.
He is, like, man.
I mean, you're only 9 episodes into this show and you're already ready for him to get what's his when it comes, you know. And I don't know how long the show will last. You know, the comic is, I know there's several volumes of the book, so I imagine they can make the show last for a while. But, man, just what a jerk that guy is. You know, you just want to kill him yourself. Good stuff, man. That is one of the cooler shows on streaming platforms on television is The Boys. And, you know, I didn't like it much at first, but that show, by the time I got to the end of the first season, I'm like, wow, I really liked it a lot. And so looking forward to see where it goes. Speaking of Cobra Kai season two, man, just keeps like eluding me. Now it's on Netflix, so I don't have to YouTube. I've tried 3 times to sit down and watch a few episodes, and it's like something always happens. So like I'm in the middle. I had already watched the premiere, but so I'm like in the middle of the second episode. It's like eventually I'm going to get through this fucking thing. It just seems like there's always something that happens.
Well, thankfully they're like half episode, half hour.
Long to watch. Yeah. So yeah. I'm going to eventually get to it and watch it. It just seems like there's always something going on. And other than that, I'm trying to think. I think Wyatt made me sit down with him and watch Return of the Jedi one day. So I sat and watched that. But, you know, that's his favorite Star Wars movie.
Nice.
And I don't. He likes the beginning where they rescue Han from Carbonite and the Sarlacc pit and all that. That's like his favorite part. So, no, you know, which is cool. When I was a kid, you know, the green lightsaber, man, I thought that was cool as shit. Always wanted a green lightsaber like Luke. So, you know, but yeah, so don't feel bad. Long, I didn't watch a whole lot this week either. You know, but I feel like there was something I watched Saturday after we recorded, but I guess not. You know, I do have, on the way to my house, I have Superman Man of Tomorrow, the new DC animated film. So I have that on the way. So I will watch that this week and have a report on next week's show for y'all. So,
nice.
So yeah.
Which was always Superman?
Man of Tomorrow.
The new DC animated film, Man of Tomorrow.
Oh, the reboot?
Yeah, I didn't realize it came interesting. Out. And I saw on Amazon that was out, so I ordered a copy of it. So, yeah, so I'll watch that.
Looks like it might tie into Martian Manhunter.
Possibly. Well, they're kind of rebooting the animated stuff and see where it goes. And the guy at work watched it, and he said it's really good, so. And of course, my voice still sounds like crap, so apologies for that. But I'll get through it. So, I guess we should get into today's featured film. We're gonna have some fun with Matt later on the show, but let's talk about this movie Matt picked. 1989. A couple years after he did Dirty Dancing. Roadhouse, starring Patrick Swayze, and I guess it's kind of starring Sam Elliott. He's kind of a supporting role. He's in there. Oh boy, you know, I had seen this probably years ago, and probably never gave it any thought because it's really at the time was probably so unmemorable for me. And now I'm watching it now, and people like this. I'm having a hard time. Like, I guess I get why they like it, but God, it's a bad movie. But Matt, you picked it. There's not much to summarize here. It's, you know, I mean, it's a guy who's a bouncer. He's apparently the coolest fucking dude in the world, and he's hired to save a bar in a town that's being run over by a rich guy. Basically, that's the only explanation they give. There's no explanation other than this guy has money. He makes people pay him, and it's kind of, there is no plot in some ways.
So Dalton is a cooler, which is a specialized bouncer, and he is basically a super bouncer, kind of like Goku turned Super Saiyan. Coolers are a specialized type of bouncer. Don't ask me how. That's just how the term is described. So apparently, there's got to be some underground bouncer cooler kind of network because he's in New York, and this guy flies all the way out to New York to get him to go to Missouri. And go, you know, clean up this bar where apparently at the end of the night they got to scrape the eyeballs off the floor. And he comes into some money, doesn't know how. I don't know how with Ben Gazzara sifting money from everybody from this town. So right. How do you come into money without the sheriff of Nottingham finding out that you got it? But anyways, Dalton extorts him, says $5,000 up front, $500 a night. You pay all medical bills. And I'm like, that's a lot of money now.
$500 a fucking night. I know.
Yes.
$500 a night. I was like, what?
And then his rent is only $100 a month. And he extorts the farmer. So it's like, it's funny because the movie, if you watch it and you're watching it for the first time and you don't know what to expect, you feel like it's ridiculous because it looks like it takes itself serious. But I don't think the movie takes itself serious. I think it's pretending to take itself serious, but actually being a parody. So Dalton comes in, and the people
I think you're just trying to justify how bad it is.
No, I'm trying to analyze what the movie may have been because a woman wrote it, and it's got all these overly zealous macho men. So I think there was something going on there where she's like, I'm just gonna like make these men and these macho men superfluous and and just larger than life. There's nothing to prove that, but that's my theory. Just from what I've, you know, researched.
Every bad guy, they must have went down to JCPenney and bought a bunch of blue jeans and a bunch of button-down shirts. Because yeah. Every bad guy has the same – not every bad guy, every good guy, too, has the same fucking outfit on. Blue jeans, boots, and a button-down shirt. It's like that's the outfit. That's the outfit for every male in this movie. And then they give Ben Gazzaro's character and the other guy, the rich guy – they give them jackets to make them look a little fancier.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we'll give them a jacket. And then you've got Pamela Anderson's stunt double, you know, going over there. You know, she's a character in there, which you think she's going to be the love interest at first. And one of the things that I think this movie just does so well is have horrible Horribly awesome pickup lines. Nipple to nipple. Let's get nipple to nipple. And I'm like, when would that work? Like,
and
ever?
To clarify, Matt's making it sound like the lead character saying that. It's actually some no-name extra saying that.
Yeah, the no-name extra.
That's why that quote is not memorable.
Yeah.
It's like, what? What are you talking about? How is this a quotable movie? I have never heard anyone quote this movie.
That's what I say, Long, before we get too far into this. Had you ever seen this before, Long?
Today was my first time seeing it. Oh, and by the way, I didn't use your password. It was $1 to rent it, so I just rented
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I want my money back. No, I'm joking. No. I'm joking. Yeah.
What are
it was
initial,
just a rental.
Your initial thoughts on this, Long?
Well, to be quite honest, well, let me backtrack a little bit. Hey, it's like one of the bouncers that are in the Double Deuce, I recognized immediately, was Terry Funk, legendary wrestler from the 70s and 80s. So I was like, oh, okay, I know that guy, Terry Funk, you know, who got fired on the first night of the Dalton's night. Anyways, my initial thoughts, the first half was actually kind of interesting. I thought, like, how the whole business aspect of it, and then it just, like, totally ramps up in, like, what the fuck moments, you know? And I'm like, hey, that's kind of, like, open vandalism. Wait, that's attempted murder. Oh, and then it's like it goes from a brass tacks turned this rundown bar into a happening club in Jasper, you know, in Jasper, Missouri. I thought that part was interesting. And then I was like, all these gratuitous, you know, exploitive shots of, you know, Patrick Swayze's butt. And I'm like, God, man, I'm going to get mad for making me watch this. I do not want to see Patrick Swayze's butt at all, you know?
You had no desire?
Then, no, not at all. Are you repressed, Matt? Matt, are you repressed? I'm like, I have no desire to see, you know, Patrick Swayze's nice, gluteus maximus, you know, glistening in the light.
Kelly Lynch is not the female equivalent of him. She's okay looking, but she's not great. So that's what the guys get, but yet we have to see Patrick Swayze's butt. It's like, what?
Yeah.
But anyway, so it goes from a you know, kind of a straightforward, you know, fix 'em up type movie into a freaking political intrigue of crime and murder and arson, and I'm like, okay, this is a total left turn here in the middle of the movie.
Where are the police in this town? I guess you assume the Gazzara's character buy them all off, but there's no police in this town at all. It's
like, until the end.
Well,
yeah.
If you think about it.
Right. They conveniently show up.
This is basically a conservative's wet dream. No law whatsoever. No government presence to keep everyone in line, but, you know, it's a libertarian fantasy.
I was about to say libertarian fantasy.
Yeah, no, I'm joking. Not really. It just shows you how bad that stuff is. No. No, it's just after the movie ended, I was like, I turned my roommate, Lee, my best friend, he was like, I was complaining about it all week. I was like, I have to watch Roadhouse. I have no desire to watch it. You know, I know you love this, Matt, but I'm just, was my thoughts and feelings. And I kept pushing it and pushing it all the way until the day of the recording. And then my roommate, he's like, I'll watch it with you, man. I'll watch it with you to help you bear and grin it. I was like, man, that's a cross for you to bear. I appreciate it. So me and him, we watched it together because he's seen the movie before I have, you know, so he knows what to expect. And I didn't. I was totally blind. So we were just kind of making our own riff tracks watching the movie. And it was quite funny. I think the funniest comment we both made about it was it? Wow, these women sure have a lot of plastic on them.
Yes, tons of fake boobs. Yeah,
yeah, it was like 80s fake boobs too. You're like, you know that the 80s was the first decade of silicone breasts, and you're like, look, first gen, know, and it's like they look like they're hard as rocks on the chest, you know, but. I'm not trying to sound like I'm being exploitive or anything like that.
No, it's just you're
what
right.
It looks
on.
Like
it is so. Very 80s. It's got all those elements. The 80s
big hair.
Cars,
dude,
big
everyone
hair,
has a fucking mullet.
A mullet. Yes, everyone has a mullet.
It's like Jesus Christ. Yeah. And my thing is, as I'm watching it, like Patrick Swayze came off Dirty Dancing, which was a huge hit. How in the hell did he make this? I mean, it seems like he could have done anything he wanted. You got Mel Gibson out there making fucking Lethal Weapon. And Patrick Swayze got talked into making this. And I'm like, how? It's like, it feels like he could have done something better than this thing.
I think he's good in the movie.
He did Ghost right after this.
Yeah.
2 years later.
He tries in the movie, but the lines are so terrible that it's even hard for him to deliver them.
I think his best lines come when he's trying to line everybody out about what to do. Be nice. That whole scene, I think that's his best dialogue.
He broke every rule of that set of rules, you know? Like when him and that one main henchman were fighting outside after the arson of the farmhouse. I'm like,
Darson that comes out of nowhere?
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, look, he's not being nice, you know, to my roommate. My roommate's like, yeah, he's not being nice to him. And then I said, well, at least they are fighting outside.
Yeah, like he took it outside.
The whole fight with Jimmy, the guy who plays Jimmy is an absolutely terrible actor. It's like it's got this weird homoeroticism to it. Jimmy tells him, I used to fuck guys like you in prison. Then he turns around and he's like, fuck you, Jimmy. It's like, wait, are y'all going to do it? Y'all going to screw each other right there? It's like...
Careless whisper
him.
Plays.
Then they have this whole massive fight, right? Then all of a sudden...
Which is a pretty good fight.
It's a pretty good fight. Dalton just reaches over and just rips the guy's throat out. It's like, wait, what?
Billy the Jet choreographed all this. Yeah.
Fucking nowhere. It's like it comes out. Why did he do that 5 minutes sooner? All of a sudden he just rips the throat out. Kind of casually, like...
It was alluded earlier in the movie.
Yeah,
I know.
Twice.
It's so bizarre. Yeah. When that happened, I was like, what? And I started laughing. I was like, this is ridiculous.
That's what's so awesome about the movie, that it's just so ridiculous. I mean, who would, if you went to Hollywood and said, I have a story about a bouncer that saves a town, they'd be like, what are you talking about? But you know what? It just happens in this movie.
Apparently not in 1988. They went for it and they made a movie.
Well, compared to Matt's last birthday pick, at least there's no freaking annoying kid.
There we go.
Droning on
silver linings.
I will give that. I found this strangely more watchable and entertaining than the last Action Hero. You know, because I think this movie is so bizarre that you just wanted to see what was going to happen. You know, and then we haven't even talked about Sam Elliott being in the movie yet.
He's so awesome.
He's very much.
He was okay.
The gruff cowboy Sam Elliott. You know. Yeah, he's just kind of like
Yeah.
Wait, he's like that. He's supposed to be like that spirit guide to Dalton, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
And, he just kind of shows up and he gets involved and he gets killed. It's like, well, that sucks. That's not really fair.
I like that scene when he first pulls up. And those guys are punching Swayze in the gut. And one of the guys is like, what do you want, dickless? And he's like, well, I sure as hell ain't going to show you my dick. And he starts fighting them. And I just thought that was one of I laughed. I mean, that's why I just feel like this has to be a parody, but they didn't want you to know it was a parody. They wanted to take it serious. A parody of all 80s action. Everyone has big hair. Everyone has a mullet. Everyone's got fake boobs. The Mercedes. And even even Ben Gazzara reaching, hands Matt. It up. Am I reaching?
Yeah, you're reaching.
Maybe I'm reaching.
Yeah. Because they've had all that big hair, all the hairstyle going even through the early 90s, too. So it wasn't really a parody, you know, because that was the time. It was a snapshot of the time that it was shot in. Because everyone wore a mullet, even in real life. So it was kind of like ubiquitous, you know.
And there's like certain things
it's just
in there.
A bad movie.
Whenever he's offered a ticket to go fly, and Dalton's like, "I don't fly; it's too dangerous." I'm like, and he doesn't laugh or anything. I'm like, I felt like that was a joke. I felt like that was meant to be a joke, and that it's letting us know it's a parody. And then in the club, he's bumping his head up to the music instead of like nodding down like Night at the Roxbury. It's going up. So I feel like there's some upside downness going on there. Am I overanalyzing? That.
Yeah, no? You are. I didn't even notice the bump up thing. I thought he was acknowledging people or greeting people.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of people in that club. It's at the very beginning. So if you still have your rental and you watch the first 5 minutes, he's doing that up.
Oh, was he?
Mm-hmm. I've watched this movie probably 6 times this week.
What?
Wow.
Yep.
You need more to do.
You really like this movie, huh?
I do. I'm not.
Why do you like it? Why do you like it?
I saw it as a kid, and I just remember thinking Patrick Swayze was just a badass. And I feel like he is a badass in this movie. And that, you know, if I know the what was around him wasn't ideal, but I feel if you took him and, like Mark said, you put him in Lethal Weapon, or you put him in another insert movie here, I think he would be very good, and you would be, you know, having something different to say about Dalton's performance. In fact, I like this movie so much, I tried to name our baby number 4 Dalton, but we named him Sam. She wouldn't let me name him Dalton.
Well,
I'm trying to think of a movie that I liked as a kid that no one else likes now.
My thing about this movie, though, too, is it's like if they took a few minutes on the script of this film and worked out a few small things, you actually could have had a better plot in this. You know, I mean, you're not going to change the acting or any of that, probably. But like maybe a little explanation as to Ben Gazzara's character, a little explanation as to how he came into money, a little explanation as to where the police are. Just those few little things might have made this movie a little more complete, make a little more sense, you know?
Actually, I think the way the movie progressed, the first half was what was supposed to be, you know, a brass tacks type movie from loser bar to successful bar. And then I think studio interference execs came in and said, "This movie's a little too boring. Let's throw some action in here. Let's throw some unnecessary drama and ramp up the excitement." It feels like studios meddling kind of came in and said, "Let's turn this up a little bit."
Maybe
it,
so.
It feels like a character type driven movie. And all of a sudden, halfway through, when they started introducing all the villain and his henchmen, you know, in that first big brawl in the Double Deuce, it feels like a different movie from that point on.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. Because, I mean, even in the beginning, there's the ridiculous stuff like the guy who's like, he's like, "For $10 each, you can kiss him. You can kiss her boobs." And
$20,
he's like,
actually.
$20, yeah. But he goes, $10 a kiss. And he's like, "Really?" Yeah, and so he starts feeling on him, and he's like, "You gonna kiss him or
so
what?"
So unnecessary.
And he's like, "I can't. I don't have $20."
That's such an unnecessary scene. I'm like, ugh.
The '80s. Yeah, it's very unnecessary and very cheesy. And that's why I was like, "This is just
a little uncomfortable
ridiculous.
To watch too."
Yeah, yeah.
By the way,
kind of uncomfortable.
I hope you felt a little uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah,
unless you're looking at Jackie and you're like, "Hey,
I'm looking at you." I'm not looking at her.
Yeah.
We all do that. Well, but,
one thing, at least to save on the budget, a lot of the actors actually did a lot of their own stunts in this movie, which I thought was interesting. and tried to choreograph the fight scenes the best they could. So that's kind of, I guess, cool.
Well, you know, Benny the Jet helped choreograph.
Right, he helped choreograph. But yet, at the same time, you can see a lot of the thrown punches in this movie, too. They don't do a very great job of covering it up. It's like, yeah, you can tell they choreographed it to an extent where you can tell they're not really hitting each other on some of the scenes.
Yeah, all the angles are wide, so you can see everything, and not much hiding room. Another thing is, I told Long last week, this is the movie that caused Patrick Swayze to not be able to do Predator 2. He was all set for Predator 2 until this movie got him injured, and he couldn't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he couldn't.
That would have been such an interesting movie.
They would. I think his career may have taken a different turn. But you know, he kind of went back into that pretty boy thing.
Yeah, I was fixing to say he didn't have a bad career. But he had Ghost and Point Break after this, so he had some success. You know.
And that, he also did Outsiders. I thought Outsiders is a good movie.
That was in the 80s.
Red Dawn.
Early 80s.
Well, just before this. Totality of his career.
Yeah.
I think another guy that was gone too soon. We both lost him and Ben Gazzara to pancreatic cancer. Swayze in 08 and Ben Gazzara in 2012, which this is our second movie featuring both of those characters.
2009 was Patrick Swayze.
2009, sorry.
What other Ben Gazzara movie did we do?
The Big Lebowski.
Oh, that's right.
Jackie Treehorn.
Yeah.
Same kind of villain, too.
Who's Ben Gazzara?
Brad Wesley.
The rich guy.
Oh, him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I forgot
about Big Lebowski. Yeah, this movie, most of its success came from home video, but it did do pretty good in theaters, even though it was stacked up against other films. I didn't realize Kevin Smith, he thought this movie, he found this movie interesting and did a video commentary on the special edition, which I don't own the special edition. I own the just regular DVD, and then I've got the digital copy, but I'll have to check and see if it's available anywhere. But Roadhouse, man, I think it's the 80s on steroids, completely ridiculous in one of the best ways that you can be completely ridiculous. Not a good movie, but it's definitely not going to bore you if you watch it.
No, I didn't get bored.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, where is this taking me? Where is this movie
where's
taking me?
Where's we going?
But
are we ready to grade it?
I still can't give it more than a C+. You know,
yeah.
I can't quite. It doesn't do enough for me to put it in the B's. Even with some of the action scenes and stuff, I just can't quite rank it that high. It's just too poorly acted. Too many bad one-liners. It's just the plot's terrible. Patrick Swayze's the only saving grace for this and Sam Elliott, but they're not enough to push it to the B's for me. I got to be harsh on this movie. I don't have the nostalgic factor you have for it either.
Yeah.
For me, I only paid 99 cents for it, so I'll give it a B-. I thought the fight choreography was pretty good between Swayze and the psycho dude. That was a pretty good fight scene.
Yeah, I liked it.
I did like the first half a bit. You know, I was kind of interested in seeing what changes he was going to make to that rundown bar with a chicken wire fence on the stage.
With the Ted Healy band, man. That's the Ted Healy band. And the same, if you recognize the band at all, it's the same band that reappears in Dust Till Dawn. So I wonder if Rodriguez was inspired by this film to
don't you mean Ted Healy was the very first band in the opening scene?
Yep. And the people around him, like the guitarist with the long dark hair.
Yeah.
That's the same guitarist and the other supporting members from Dust Till Dawn.
Yeah. I didn't care for that band. So
vampire band.
Yeah. I didn't really care for From Dusk Till Dawn. It seems like everyone around me loves that movie, but I couldn't. I'm like, eh.
It was a product of its time.
Probably the only person. Yeah. It didn't hold up for me for From Dusk Till Dawn. But, yeah, Matt, for your birthday, I'll give it a B-.
Yeah.
It didn't hold it up. From that's what I know hold up for me. When I tried to rewatch it not that long ago, I was like, man, this isn't that great. You know, it was cool the first time I saw it, but then I'm like, yeah.
The only cool part is you know, you're the obvious Selma Hayek.
Even that's like, yeah.
What?
I mean, I'm
going to let you reassess that opinion.
I liked her in Frida more.
Movie. Yeah.
But the movie's all right.
So. I would give Roadhouse a B. That's probably and I'm very optimistic. It's, you know, it's, like I said, I can't consciously give it an A because, you know, to me, A is Terminator 2. A is Die Hard. That's an A action film. This is the drive-in movie. This is the movie that is the second feature or the B film in the drive-in. And it's entertaining. It's not, you know, a super good movie by those standards that I just mentioned, but you're going to be entertained and you won't be bored and you're going to walk away with tons of laughs and jokes and you might and girl, remember some quotes fuck? From it.
What the yeah. fuck did I just make?
Exactly.
On that note, let's get into the weekly top five.
I'm going to get you back, Matt. I'm going to make you watch a movie that you
We have a couple
like.
Of top five.
No.
But, the first top five is our normal weekly top five, where the top five movie characters that we would bring to a bar fight. I'm going to start it, I guess.
I misunderstood that.
What?
I misunderstood that. It was like, I thought you meant bar fights that I would get into characters, like who I would fight in a bar fight.
Oh, man.
Oh, well, I'll just go with what I have, and you could go with your normal list. That's so. I read that wrong. I don't know why my.
It's okay.
You mean like I have a partner with you, right?
Because, yeah, like if there's a bar fight going on and who you want to have next to you. Yeah.
Oh, I picked who I would fight in a bar fight. Okay.
No, because I don't plan on fighting anybody, so.
Oh, well. Mine's just reverse. So.
Well.
Go ahead, guys. What's your number five?
And number five, I have the McManus brothers from the Boondock Saints.
Nice.
I would take, yes. I mean, there's a bar fight in the movie at the beginning, and it's kick-ass, so I would want the McManus brothers by my side in a bar fight. That's my number five.
I wanted to give an honorable mention first, because I 2 weeks ago I watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, finally, and I think Cliff Booth would be badass in a bar fight. He just
Your connection's going bad.
Mine
or
yours?
Is that just me? Hold on.
No,
mine did it a second ago. But
okay, cool.
Yeah, other than that honorable mention of Cliff Booth from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, my number five is the bride from Kill Bill, Uma Thurman's character.
Okay. Well, who I was going to fight in a bar fight is any random Ewok that happens to look at me the wrong way. So, yeah. Kick you in the face, Ewok. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's who I would pick a fight with.
Awesome.
If I was drunken and crazy.
Drunken and crazy.
What's your number four?
James Bond, of course.
Oh darn, yeah.
Why would I not have James Bond in a fight with me in a bar? So
especially Daniel Craig's James Bond. He would kick ass in a bar fight.
Oh, hell, I would go with Connery. Or any of them, really.
Yeah. For my number four, I've got Rocky Balboa. A guy would probably knock out those drunk fools in one shot, just each. Boom, boom, boom. Just knock them out. So I've got Balboa at number four.
Yeah. Number four, who I would fight, pick a fight if I'm in a really bad mood from work, is C-3PO. Yeah.
That's awesome.
He'll never. They'll never think to throw a punch at me.
Never. You'll probably knock his head off pretty easily, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm picturing
I'm
picturing you in this Marvel tower, in this Mortal Kombat tower, and you're just moving up, and you just fought the Ewoks, and now you're going up to see 3PO, and now we're waiting to see who the next one is.
Right. What's your number three?
At number three, I have a Mad Dog from the Raid movies, or from the Raid 1.
Oh, nice.
Dude, Mad Dog's a bad motherfucker, dude. And if I'm hanging out in a bar and a fight starts, you want Mad Dog on your side.
I'm going with Jack Slater from number three, of course, because
he's not even real.
He is real. He came into our world.
He's
Benedict.
I would have went with the Terminator. He's been in a real bar fight on movie.
I felt like he was more of a superhuman though, so I wanted to stay away from superhumans. I was trying to make this more talented humans like Batman style, you know.
Yeah. Well,
but that was my first choice.
My number three person to pick a fight with in a bar is Jake Sully from Avatar while he was still in his wheelchair. So
you beat up a dude, you're gonna beat up a handicapped guy.
Well, yeah. He's always whining and complaining about his
most off the rails episode ever.
I misunderstood your top five. Sorry.
My number two is I'm sticking with the Raid. Got Mad Dog there. I got to have Rama too, man.
Nice.
Rama's a bad dude in the Raid movies. You know, I want him by my side.
For me, I've got Walker, Texas Ranger, of course. I mean, Texas Marshal that can kick you in the head, knock you through a wooden wall or whatever with his sidekick. I'm going with Walker, Texas Ranger.
My number two person to pick a fight with.
Shit, here we
go. May he rest in peace, Vern Troyer.
Oh, shit. Oh.
Vern, damn. I love you, but if I ever met you in the bar, I would beat you up.
And if anyone knows, that's a throwback to the Scott Pilgrim.
After you bit my nuts.
To the Scott Pilgrim episode a couple weeks ago.
That's crazy.
Bird Troyer, watch out. You're my number one list in the pick a bar fight.
And my number one person I want to take to a bar fight with me would be Lee from Enter the Dragon, Bruce Lee. His character's name is Lee. Fuck, dude. I mean, how can you not have a bar fight and have Bruce Lee? He should be number one on anybody's list. Not that Bruce Lee would get in a bar fight because he would be trying to find a way to find peace. But if I had a bar fight, Bruce Lee better help me kick some ass.
I had Mr. Lee too from Enter the Dragon, that specific character. I was gonna put his character from I was gonna put Johnny Lee from Big Boss, but I thought he was
kind of all interchangeable. Yeah,
they're all interchangeable. But I was like, no, he's too. He played the cocky. He was the cocky Bruce Lee character, I want the sage. You know.
Your wild card Cliff Booth pick, though. That's a good one, man. Because Cliff Booth is badass in that fucking movie. A little tangent before we get Long's number one, because I'm expecting it to be something fantastic. But I've watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I probably watched 4 or 5 times now. I'm really starting to really, really appreciate that movie more and more. It could be one of Tarantino's masterpieces. I didn't like it on first watch, but the more I watch it, I'm like, God damn, this is a great, great fucking movie. And I'm really curious if he's going to release the 4-hour cut like he did with Hateful Eight, because I really want to see what else he took out of that movie. But we'll see.
Well, I'm going to try to bring things back on track with my number one and stick with you guys' theme, because Vern Troyer was my number one, you know? For the bar fights thing, but but if I were to have someone have my back in a bar fight, I would pick Indiana Jones. Yeah.
Nice.
He'll have my back. And then we'll both beat up Vern Troyer together. No.
Poor
I'll Vern kick Troyer. Him. No. May he rest in peace.
That's God a good number soul. One.
Oh,
probably use that whip.
He'll run around with Vern Troyer as a golden idol.
But we've got another little fun top five that just me and Long are doing, as we're going to roast Matt a little bit with five movies that we think that Matt would probably watch and have a little fun with him. I'm not sure how you approach this, Long. I approach it a different way, so we'll just play off of each other. I'll let you start it, Long.
Number five, Matt seems like the kind of person that likes to watch Citizen Kane. I don't know. I know that movie is beloved, but I'm like, well, I didn't like it. Maybe that's something that Matt might like.
I've been meaning to watch it. I haven't seen it yet, but it's I think it's free on Netflix or Vudu.
HBO Max maybe.
Yeah. So maybe I will watch it. Now I have to watch it. You put it as top five. I need to watch it now.
So I can tell that me and Long took different approaches to this, and that's okay. Because I went with movies that I feel, knowing Matt's personality.
These are movies I want Matt to be tortured by, and he'll probably like. That's my
these
angle.
Are just movies
nice.
These are just movies that I assume Matt would watch. And at number five, I have Freddy Got Fingered. Because I figured a movie that Matt would go, what do you mean Freddy Got
That's
Fingered?
That's a Matt movie.
Matt would watch it and try to figure out like how a dude gets fingered. Yeah, we might get a little X-rated on this part of the show.
I have seen that movie, but only once. I saw it whenever it first came out.
My number four that I would suggest, Matt's probably seen this. Well, yeah, he's seen this. It's Hercules in New York. I know it's a terrible movie, but I know he'll love that movie.
Yes,
so just for the bear fight. That's an easy pick. I've forgotten about the bear fight.
Dude,
I've only seen it. I've only seen the original English dub of that movie, by the way. Yeah, when Arnold's all dubbed over.
Oh, yeah. Over. Yeah, that one's no fun. Let Arnold use his voice. I like when he uses his own voice, even though he's trying his darndest to talk.
Go ahead, Mark.
At number four, I have no idea what this movie is about. I just saw it on a list. It's called Whipped. Just feels like a movie Matt would watch to figure out, because we all know he's whipped by Jackie. And, you know, it just seems like a movie. Why am I whipped? I need to watch this to figure out why.
Whipped. I'm going to have to figure out what that movie's about.
I have no idea. I just saw it and listened.
A number three pick for me is that I would hope Matt would watch and he'll probably like is Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Planet 9 from Outer Space?
Plan 9 from Outer Space.
It's arguably considered one of the worst films ever made.
Yeah.
I have to take. I'm taking these notes down.
Directed by Ed Wood.
Yes. At number three, I have Matt is always the first on the show to mention when there's boobs in a movie. So why would Matt not want to watch Showgirls? You know, he would watch it and he would probably, you know, laugh at the entire time and go, "Oh, I saw boobs," because there's lots of them in Showgirls. And hey, I actually have a copy of Showgirls as a guilty pleasure movie. Cause it is one of those movies that's so bad that it's good, you know, but it seems like a movie Matt would watch. And when he turns 13 next year.
Well, my number two, Matt movie that he'll probably watch for this family, and thinks it's a nostalgic gem, which it really isn't. But it's Care Bears 2, the movie.
Oh, my God.
I can imagine Matt saying, "Hey, I found this really cool 80s movie, animated movie from Hasbro. Let's take a look at it. It's Care Bears 2, the movie." It has to be Care Bears 2, not the first one. It has to be the second one.
Because sequels are so much worse. Better.
Yeah. So Care Bears 2, the movie with Matt and his family.
I think
he'll
this.
Enjoy it.
I think I had a VHS copy of this movie long.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I had one of them, and this looks like it might have been the one. Maybe.
If it has a lion in it, then that's the one.
At
a
number
yellow
two,
lion. Yeah.
At number two, I have any movie with Chris Evans in it. Anyone who's ever listened to the Rubber Radio Podcast over 200-something episodes, Matt's got a strange man crush on Chris Evans, and he's going to watch anything
and
he's
in. And Patrick Swayze.
Oh, just so I haven't got to number one yet, Long. Don't you worry.
Oh, okay.
But definitely Chris Evans films.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't think of anything else for my number one, so I kind of thought of the worst movie I could think of for a Stallone movie. So I'll go with a Sylvester Stallone pick, and I think Matt will probably like Stop or My Mother Will Shoot. As a Stallone movie.
That's a Stallone movie title?
And it's
yes.
terrible.
Oh my gosh.
Cop or My Mother Will Shoot. Yeah. It's about a cop who brings his mom, Estelle Getty, as his partner. Yeah, it's a...
92. Buddy cop black comedy film. Wow.
Stop or My Mother Will Shoot.
My mom's gonna shoot.
Yeah, that's my number one.
After making me sit through Roadhouse, I realized what Matt's number one secret favorite movie of all time is, and it's got to be Dirty Dancing. Matt's obviously got a man crush on Patrick Swayze. Also, we know he sits and watches Patrick dance and say nobody backs baby in the corner. It's probably Matt's most favorite romantic film ever made, and he secretly watches it and doesn't tell anybody about it. But Matt, it's okay. We know that's one of your secret films that you watch on the side.
You're not far off. I made Jackie watch this year because I felt it was a classic and one of Patrick Swayze's best performances.
So what did Jackie say about it?
I revoked she your man it. Card. Sure, she did, but you, man... You suggested to the wife, I revoke your man card, motherfucker. You get some points. You get some points taken away.
Swayze's a man's man. He's a man's and a ladies' man but at the same time.
But Dirty Dancing's not a man's movie.
But it's dirty. He's like grinding his stuff into other women.
You're justifying that you watch a chick flick, dog. You know?
You've got to watch it. You got to watch it next year. I've seen Dirty Dancing. You just wait.
Once. That was enough. Man card
revoked. Havana Nights are the original.
Why are you punishing us? Why are you testing our friendship?
I know, right?
What did we ever do to you? What did we do to you, Matt?
Man card revoked.
Oh, man. You guys are
awesome. Why are you punishing us? At least suggest Ghost or something. That's tolerable. It has some cool scenes in it.
Yeah, we'll give you a cool pass scenes. On Ghost. On that note, Let's do some news. happy birthday,
why
Matt,
does he
by the way.
Spit on our friendship?
Thank you.
happy sweet Chris 16.
Thank you, sir.
Chris Hemsworth. We've Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, they are all leaving their parts in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But Chris Hemsworth says he's not going anywhere, that as long as Marvel will have him, he wants to keep doing films. So I think that's kind of cool that he's committed to the fans to keep playing Thor. Because I do like him in the role, you know. And I think it will help the MCU moving forward that we know we're still going to have a familiar face there, you know.
Yeah, he especially wants a steady paycheck.
That, yeah. In the wake of losing Chadwick Boseman, you know, it's nice to know that we are going to have somebody that's going to be there for some consistency as the MCU moves forward. So I thought that was kind of cool.
I think you said it best. Like, I think 2 years ago, Mark, you were like, on the record, I remember you said, yeah, okay, if Captain America and Iron Man go away, you know, I'm not too worried about that. But you're like, who's going to replace Thor? Who are you going to get to replace Chris Hemsworth? Who's going to pick up that mantle? And I think that's a good question that maybe there's no answer for. And the answer is keep Chris Hemsworth in that role, especially if he wants to do it.
Yep, for sure. Hey, I think it's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Wonder Woman got pushed back to Christmas Day. no surprise.
Killing me.
Movie theaters continue to, work around release dates and try to make some money back on these movies. So we got to wait a little bit longer to see Wonder Woman.
And they're moving it into a season where coronavirus will thrive in the cold season.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The Walking Dead is finally going to end after 11 seasons. You know, the show is, I think, from fans that still watch it, it's run its course. You know, the books, the comics have ended. So it's probably about that time to go ahead and end the show. So for you Walking Dead fans to still keep up with it, next year will be the last season.
Put it out of its misery.
And lastly, we got the first trailer this week for Dune. I don't know a whole lot about Dune, but I was pretty impressed by the trailer. I was like, wow, this is it looks epic. A hell of a cast. I want to see it. You know, I'm like, fuck, I want to see that. Voodoo actually has the original Dune on sale this week for $7. And I have $3 off. I'm thinking about buying it just to watch it. Because I've only ever seen bits and pieces of it. I've never actually sat and watched that movie. So I might buy a copy of it and watch it. And y'all's thoughts on the Dune trailer from Denis Villeneuve?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty epic. It's a total mystery to me. I do have the book, and I do kind of, I don't know if I should read it or watch the movie first. What about you, Matt? What do you thought of the trailer?
I know nothing about Doom, but it looked like it's going to be entertaining and fun, and something I would definitely go to the theater and watch, and probably going to try and watch the, I guess there's a first Doom movie. I know I've seen it pass by the screen sometime, like HBO Max. I think it's on HBO Max, right?
It might be.
The first Doom?
Yeah.
I saw it somewhere. It was a month ago, but...
There was also a sci-fi TV miniseries where they did Dune and Children of Dune. And actually, that was pretty well received, too, when it was on the sci-fi channel. Dune fans are already hating on the new trailer. But it seems to me like hardcore Dune fans are as pretentious as Lord of the Rings fans. They're not going to like anything. So whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm. I could see why. But Dune is like one of those... one of the great American sci-fi contributions, you know,
right,
in the genre of fiction. That and The Foundation were two big names that came out of the 60s that really raised the level of, you know, hard science fiction storytelling. Right. So, but
yeah,
I mean, it's a total mystery to me. So,
yeah, it looks great. I mean, Oscar Isaac, Jason Momoa, a hell of a cast in the film. His name.
Boy, Beetlejuice's sandworms have got a good upgrade, huh?
Drax. The guy who plays. Guys, he's escaping me. The guy who plays Drax. Fuck. Dave Bautista. Zendaya. She's in the film. So a heck of a cast. So we'll see as it comes out. It's scheduled for a December release if they don't push it back. So,
you know. Mm-hmm. And I think this weekend's a part two of the DC fandom, huh?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. So, wonder what they'll announce this weekend.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. I have a feeling it might be more comic book based stuff. Yeah, I don't expect a lot of new movie footage, you know. So.
Yeah. Maybe direct-to-video stuff.
Video or maybe the TV side of things, yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Well, let's preview next week's film. We're going to go a little bit off genre next week from comics and action films and do a film that has long been requested by our friend of the show, Winter, who's been on the show a couple of times. And I told her that we would do it next year when the film's 20th anniversary came out. And that is Almost Famous.
This is the music editor at Rolling Stone magazine.
Is this William Miller?
Yes, it is.
I think you should be writing for us.
From Cameron Crowe, writer-director of Jerry Maguire.
If you're going to be a true journalist, you cannot make friends with the rock stars.
Just make us look cool.
God, it's going to get ugly, man. They're going to buy you drinks.
Don't take drugs!
They're going to fly you places for free.
It's Bowie!
You're gonna meet girls.
We are not groupies.
We don't have intercourse with these guys.
Just blowjobs, and that's it.
Hey,
same man.
On the road with the band.
Your mom called.
Rock stars have kidnapped my son.
Spirits run high.
There's acid in the beer that's in the red cups.
How do you know when it's kicked in?
I am a golden god!
Innocence runs wild.
Let's deflower the kid.
We need this story in 4 days.
Your time has come.
And there's more to write home about.
Can I speak with William, please?
Is this Marianne with the pot?
Then the music.
What do you love about music?
To begin with, everything.
It's so easy to slip. It's so easy.
We're gonna die.
If something should happen. Maybe I never said this enough. I love all of you.
I slept with Marna Day.
I did too.
Me too.
I'm gay!
Don't you have any regular friends?
Famous people are just more interesting.
Directed by Cameron Crowe, this is actually a really great film. It's a music film about him following a band around and writing for Rolling Stone. It's a little bit of a far genre, but still a very good film. And I think it's going to be fun to watch again and talk about and get into talking about music and things we and reasons we may love music. And I think it should be a fun movie to talk about as a requested movie from one of our friends of the show for next week. And Matt, I know you've seen Almost Famous Four. I don't know if Long has ever seen it.
So. I've seen it.
Yeah.
I saw it, but I don't remember.
Years ago.
Yeah, I don't remember much of it. The van... I remember the big tour van, the silver tour van, and that's kind of it.
Yeah. Great film, though, so.
Yeah.
One of Cameron Crowe's best.
So I'm going to have to refresh.
Semi-autobiographical. I'm not sure if it's streaming anywhere, but, you know, we'll figure that out. So, yeah. So that's next week's show. That's all I got for this week. Until next time. Go to therubberradiopodcast.com for everything. As always, happy birthday again to you, Matt.
Thank you, sir.
We had some fun with you today, and that was a fun show. I'm messing with you a little bit.
And how.
So until next time, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, the cooler.
The cooler.
As always, remember, be nice. And just go there and do it.
And
do it.
Do it. But be nice.